You know, sometimes when things happen in people's lives, they just say, oh, well, that's inevitable. I can't do anything about it. Well, you can do something about situations. There's a way to do it. If you want a title for this, sometimes I don't give titles, and they put titles on something, and then they'll sometimes use some of my messages on the our television broadcasts. We do openings and closings, and they put the message, and they tell me what the message is going to be, and we talk about it in the opening. And I say, I didn't preach this. Well, they gave it a title. I always have a title. I just don't ever say it. Sometimes I do. So tonight, it pays to sow the word in your life. Now, let's look at Mark 4:14. And you say, well, I've read that before. Well, we have. I'm going to look at it a little different tonight. The farmer plants seed by taking, I'm reading NLT first, by taking God's words to others. The seed that falls on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away, and as soon as they have problems, are they persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear, accept God's word, and produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100-fold, sometimes as much as been planted. Now let's read this in another translation, the Passion Translation. Let me explain. The farmer sows the word as seed, and what falls on the beaten path represents those who hear the word, but immediately Satan appears and snatches it from their hearts. The seed sown on the gravel represents those who hear the word and receive it joy, but because their hearts fail to sink a deep root in the word, they don't endure very long. For when trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, they immediately wilt and fall away. And the seed sown among the thorns represents those who hear the word, but they allow the cares of this life, the seductions of wealth and the desire for other things to crowd out and choke the word so that it produces nothing. But the seed sown on good soil represents those who open their hearts, receive the word, and their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times more than they've sown. Now, a lot of times they try to use this on a financial basis. It's not even talking about finances. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. See, the problem is you just can't take a word and I'm sowing my offering. That's my seed. So I expect that it isn't even talking about. It says the word. So many times people, you got to read the context of the thing and understand what it's talking about. Now, I want you to notice four kinds of people are described in this. And I think these four kinds of people almost cover all the different kinds of people in the body of Christ. In other words, no matter what kind of person you are, you can find yourself in one of these categories. And I want you to notice, this is not given to those that are not part of God's temple. This is given to the, we would say it, this is actually talking about the Christian. Now, a lot of people don't look at it, but that's the way it is. It's talking about those who have heard the word. Now, let's look at these four kinds of people. Okay, the people on the footpath, 4:15. The seed fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come take it away. So these people, they hear the word a few times, and then because they don't have an understanding, they just quit. You know, a lot of people, because they don't understand the I've talked to some people, say, well, I read the Bible, but I just don't understand it, so I just don't read it much anymore. Well, these kind of people, that's who this is. They hear the word, they like it, but they don't understand it, and so therefore, but they don't zero in to get an understanding of the word, and the enemy comes in and steals it all away from them. Of course, we know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he does not want you to get involved in the word. It's important that we continually hear the word and keep hearing it till we understand it. If you'll keep listening long enough, you finally will begin to comprehend what it's talking about. In the natural, have you ever sat in a classroom or some other, maybe at work in a learning session, and at first you're hearing it, but you're not understanding it. Anybody ever been there? But you have to keep listening, and you have to go back to the next training session and the next training session, and finally it starts to come together. Well, that's what some people, they hear the word, they hear a few messages, and they get excited about it. But then when things don't seem to be, and they don't understand it, they let it go. The enemy especially likes to get a hold of new Christians like this, and when they really don't understand it. And, you know, many of you are like many other people. How many of you grew up around church? Looking across the crowd, that's the majority of you. But you know what? A person that, and we've had some people come that they never been in church in their life, and they get saved. Listen, we have to understand that about them, and you know what? Sometimes whenever we got somebody coming in that hasn't never been in church in their life, you got to watch about how you talk to them, because you may use church jargon, okay, church phrases maybe would be a better word, and they don't have a clue of what you're talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we got some of those people in the body of Christ. So we need to always be aware and try to help these people so that they don't lose out. Now, we get to that second group of people. This may not take an hour tonight. It's going faster than I thought it would. But we look at this second group of people. The seed is on rocky soil, represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing the word. Now, these are the people that hear the word. They're excited about it. They're listening. They're thrilled at this new revelation that they're receiving. But they're there every time the church doors are open, and they're taking notes, and they're listening, and they're so excited. And I guarantee you that right now, some of you can think of some people that are your friends that got in when you got in, and they got excited, and they're so excited, but now they're nowhere to be found. Anybody? I got lots of hands. Well, you see, the devil comes to them and try and gets them away. He'll bring trouble, things to them, knowing that he can, if he can, he can bring some affliction and some things and begin to talk on the other side, bring offenses, hurt, sickness, lack, all of these things. Now they've heard the word, but now they haven't heard enough to really get established. So they fall out. You know, they say, well, what's the use? You know, they quit hearing the word and they lose their joy and they're no longer thrilled about the word of God. They don't have enough word in them to endure, and they just quit listening. Have you ever seen somebody that's really thrilled and happy about the word and then trouble comes and all of a sudden it's a different story? Anybody? Yeah. They quit because trouble comes. They say, well, man, I was believing in God and look what happened to me. I was better off before I started listening to the word. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, I got a few of you. I've heard people say that. You know, this is what we've got to try to help people that are in this category, because they're in. This is talking, and I'm applying this. This is talking about people that are in the church, and many of these first two categories. You'll see them, the first one, you'll see a few furrows, then they start dropping off, and then they come back, and then they drop off, and finally they're gone. This group, they'll be there, you know, like I said, every time the church doors open, but when trouble comes, they start dropping out. You won't see them, and then you'll see them, and then finally they're gone too. You see, they excited about the word, but they have never made a commitment to stay no matter what. You see, you need to help these people. Now, you take a plant. A plant has to have if it's going to endure the heat, the wind, the rain, the storms, it has to have a good root system, especially a tree. And some of the trees have something they call a tap root. It's a long root, goes way deep in the ground. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. It makes them able to endure all kinds of adverse conditions. See, and that's what people need to get to. You need to get to that you're rooted, so grounded in the word that nothing moves you. You know, when I first started with Dad, actually it was 1954, actually, they wasn't the interstates that they are now, and we drove to California, and I just got out of my freshman year in high school, and then we traveled all over the state of California that whole next year preaching all over the place. But on the way there, I'd never been out of the state of Texas at that time, but maybe one time. And we were driving out there, and we got out there in Arizona, New Mexico on old Highway 66. Didn't have no interstates back in those days. And it'd just be barren, and then all of a sudden, off in the distance, you'd see these trees, green trees, but they'd been in line. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? And my dad would say, the reason that they're green and everything else is brown, and the reason they're in a line, he said, there's a stream of water there. But anything that wasn't close to that stream of water wasn't making it. And that's like some Christians are. They get excited, but then they get away from the stream, the word, and they begin to dry up. They can't endure adversity. Now, this third group of people is this is a very interesting group. This is the seed that fell among the thorns, represent others who hear the word of God. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lures of wealth, the desires of other things, so no fruit is produced. You know, some people hear the word long period of time. They're involved. And I'm sorry to say, there are people that have been in this church. I've been pastoring this church. I started in 85. As you know, we just celebrated 40 years. There are people that were in this church for 15, 20 years in this town are not even living for God now. You know, they heard the word. They were involved in the word. But I don't care who you are, the enemy will come to steal the word from you. He wants to steal the word. If he can steal the word from you, he can destroy you. Now, he comes at them, and he comes, first of all, through people, different things, saying things. But that doesn't faze them. They've been in long enough that doesn't faze them. But then he comes in and he overloads them with the worries of life. He brings along all of these fantastic opportunities, and they begin to look at those things and opportunities for desiring these things. And they begin to look at that, and it pulls them away. I know, well, let's see, how do I tell this story? I don't want to reveal anything. Actually, it's been years ago, so probably nobody would know about it anyway. But this person came to my dad. His years had to be years ago because he's been gone to glory for 22 years. So, and it was several years before that, so it was probably 40 years ago or 50 maybe. I don't know. Anyway, they come to Dad, and this person was really involved in a church in a certain city. And Dad knew him as a minister, but also as a friend, on a friend basis with them. And they had been involved in that church. Their family was involved in that church. And he came and he said, "Man, I got a great opportunity to go to this city. I'm being promoted to an executive level job." He was so excited about it. And I never will forget, my dad said to him, "Hey," he called his name, "have you checked out the church situation there? Have you checked out any of that, any spiritual things there?" "Oh, no, we'll find something when we get there. This is a great opportunity." Well, I'm sorry to say, he took the great opportunity job. He got there. They were so involved with this new life. They had money that they'd never had before. They were able to buy boats and go to the lake. And Dad saw them later, and they were plumb out of church. Now, these are people who've been in church for years, and that's this group of people that we're talking about here. They've been in church for years, been in a volunteer leading in some of the Sunday school classes and some of the other things. Now, here they are. Had this great opportunity, and the kids are now not even serving God. Actually, the guy came and talked to Dad, and Dad told him, said, "Well, I tried to tell you, and you wouldn't listen." And they were, they tried to get back into church, and they did, but they never did get the kids back. But he had this great opportunity. And all of a sudden, he's making more than he ever made in his life. They got boats. They were going to the lake. They were doing all kinds of, you know, trips and everything else. Well, that's what this is talking about here when it's talking about the worries of life, the lure of wealth, desire for things. Now, God don't mind us having stuff. He doesn't mind us having that. He tells us he wants us to have a good life. But first of all, you got to make sure that you're seeking the kingdom of God. Hello? You ever notice Matthew 6:33? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Did you ever read up above there? What's up above there? It talks about God taking care of the houses, lands, and all kinds of stuff, right? Isn't that right? Huh? And then it's 33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added unto you. You see, we cannot allow the worries of life and the lure of money and the desire for things. Sometimes, well, the Lord said whatever you desire. Yeah, but if you're desiring stuff that's going to get you out of serving God, you better watch out. I better get off of that now. But it's true. I have seen people that myself, I mean, I was associate pastor for 6 years, and I've been in this all my life. I've seen people that were fantastic Christians, and then they got a little bit, and they could start taking trips, and they bought a boat, and they could go to the lake, and the next thing you know, they're not even in church. Don't look at me like that. You're sitting there like you don't like that. I guarantee you some of you know some people like that. You may even have some friends like that. Anybody? Yeah. That's the enemy's way of stealing the word out of you. If he steals the word out of you, then he's got you and he's destroying you. Come on. You know. The message is, you know, these things crowd out the word. The worries of life. Get wrapped up in chasing the dollar. And all of this, all of a sudden, you're not a doer of the word anymore. In fact, you're not hearing enough word to do anything. You know, I don't know a whole lot about farming because my grandpa left the farm when I was about 6-7 years old. But I do know when I was young, he'd come in and he'd tell Savannah, he'd say to my grandmother, he said, Savannah, we got to get some people in here. Back then, you know, we didn't have all the stuff they have now. They had to hoe, go into the fields and chop out the Johnson grass that was growing up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he'd say, man, at North 40 Field out there, we got to get some people out there quick. He said, the Johnson grass is taking over, and the cotton, I can see that the cotton plants are shriveling up. They're drying up. Well, what was happening? That Johnson grass was pulling nutrients out of the soil that those cotton plants needed in order to survive. See, you people ain't ever been out on a farm. You don't even know what we're talking about. I barely do, but I've been around it enough. But and actually, those weeds are robbing the nutrients that the crop needs, and if you don't take care of them and let too many weeds grow up, they will choke out the plants. Whatever it is you planted. How many of you are farmers and know what? Is that true? Let me see your hands. Yeah, it's true. Well, that's what this word is talking about right here. All of these things coming in and they're choking out the word. You can't allow that. Now, hey, there's nothing wrong with having things, and I say this, and God wants you to have things. But if they are coming in and they're choking out the word, and you're not doing anything to be, then all of a sudden you lose out. In the same way, we can't let good things in this life take over our time and our energy so that church chokes out the word of God and holds us back from producing what we really need to produce, and chokes out the blessings that God wants to bless us with because we left the word. Remember, look here at Proverbs 4:20. My child, in the NLT, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. You know, if you want to continue and grow and mature in God, you have to make a commitment to continually stay with the word no matter what comes or what doesn't come, no matter what happens or what doesn't happen. Hello. I've seen a lot of people that say they were committed to the word, but when push come to shove, they weren't committed. Hello. You got to be committed to the word. All right. Let's look at this last group of people. And the seed fell on good soil, representing those who hear the word, accept the word, and produce a harvest. These are people who continually hear the word and accept it, take delight in their heart, and they become doers of the word. And you see, they continually delight themselves in the word. Psalms 1:1-3. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank. I talked about that a while ago, bearing fruit in their season, and their leaves will neither wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Now, I want you to notice something here. They're trees planted by the riverbank or the water, bearing fruit in each season. You see, we got to realize that as we're living our lives, there are seasons. And you got to learn how to live in every season with the word. I grew up with a man. He said, we go through different things. You go through different situations. You can call it seasons if you want to, or whatever you want to call it. But he said, we never change our confession of what the word says. This group of people, this last group of people, they get into the word, they stay in the word. And when it's all said and done, they have produced blessings in their life. They have been blessings to others. And they have accomplished much for God. So we looked at four different people here. And we talked about the plants producing, and those that have a good root system and receive the nutrients. Even, you know, nowadays, they didn't have it so much back in the early day, but nowadays, they've got all kinds of things, and you can test the soil and find out exactly what you need, and they've learned through education and trials and errors that if you plant this kind of crop in this field this time, all right, next time you plant a different crop in that field because it puts nutrients back in that needs to be in that soil. Am I not right on that, you farmer guys? I've read that, but I heard some people talk about it. I don't know for a fact about it. But you see, there are times that, and they test the soil to find this out. So different nutrients that they put into the soil sometimes, and different fertilizers will go into the soil. We need to continually feed on the Word of God and develop a root system, and our nutrients and our spiritual growth and our receiving blessings all come from the Word of God. And there are going to be all kinds of situations that's going to come your way that the devil's going to throw at you, and like it did these other people. Well, they didn't stay with the Word, and they lost out. And you could bring the five wise and five foolish virgins in on this. Five of them, they were smart. They brought extra oil. The rest of them were just enjoying life and going along. And when it was their lamps were about to go out because they didn't have no oil in them, and they had to go get some more oil. And while they're gone to get oil, the bridegroom came. That could be another thing that we can show. You know, there's a lot of people that they just going along enjoying life, and all of a sudden something hits them, and now they're having to run to try to find out how to get out of it, and it's not working like they think it should, so they just completely drop out. That's that third group I'm just talking about right there. That's them. You know, we all know Joshua 1:8. How many of you know Joshua 1:8? Okay, how many of you can quote it? Study the book of instruction. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Now, I like this last part. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. All that you do. Well, that's taken in spiritual and natural. Come on. If you want to be successful in life, stay in the Word. Notice that the person meditates on the Word of God. You know, you need to set a goal to being a hearer and a doer. When you get involved, continually sowing the Word into you, then the Word will produce a crop. Well, you could say blessing, whatever you want to call it. You know, you notice that one of them heard it for a short period of time. Others heard it for a while. Still the others continued in it for a while. And finally, the last group, they stayed in the Word. If that doesn't describe people in Christians that I talk to and have seen over a period of time now, if that doesn't describe them, I don't know what else does. Now, you're looking at me sort of funny, but that's the way it is. And I guarantee you, if you start thinking about it, you can think about people that you know that fell into each one of these groups, but you stayed in this last group. Am I right or wrong? I got about 20 hands up. I'm glad at least some of you have had some experience. If you hadn't had it, you know, we got to act according to James 1:25 and be a doer of the Word. You know, let's determine to hear the Word continually. Let's determine to continually be a doer of the Word and receiving all that God has for us. Let's fall into that last category and not, and let's try, if we see some in the other category that we can help, let's try to help them. Heavenly Father, I've just started to talk to the people tonight about some things that I think are important in life and you think are important in life. Help each one of us to receive what we need to receive out of this message tonight and put it into practice. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand up. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Did you see something a little different out of that parable than you hadn't ever seen before? You know, and I probably touched some people crossways when I said that 630, 60, whatever, didn't have anything to do with money. It didn't talk about money. Go read my dad's book, The Midas Touch. In fact, I heard him say from the platform several times, if I got a 100-fold return on every offering that I give, I wouldn't have enough banks to keep it all. Come on. That's another story that I like to get on sometimes, and I know I'm going crossways to people and they don't like it, but that's all right. I believe you might could venture get that. But I want you to notice it said it comes in different forms. I don't have time to preach it. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to God, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, come to the front. They'll pray for you. You won't leave here like you came. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay in that last group. We'll see you Sunday right here. God bless you. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now.